Okay, new faces, familiar faces. I said. Okay, well, this year we plan to learn Maseches Ksuvos. Maseches Ksuvos is known in the yeshiva world as a Shas Katan. Even though when you learn the Mishnayos, which I hope that you already learned the Mishnayos of Perek Elu Naros, you saw that it's very, very focused in terms of four psukim in the Torah. And then you have like really taking these dinim of onesu mefateh from all different perspectives, but within the Gemara spreads out in terms of topics, and moves to all the world of psule kedushim, psule nisuin, on the level of lav, on the level of kares, on the level of kedushin tovsin, the level of kedushin ein tovsin, questions of mamzerus. And then moves over to the whole world of onshim, kamle midrabimine, ein adam memis umeshalem, ein adam loke umeshalem. Question of kares, Rav Nachunya ben Hakana, can you have kares along with tashlumin? Then moves over into the world of geneva. Then moves over into the world of Shabbos. So you have like everything, even within this perek. It's all within the Gemara. Again, even though the Mishnayos are very focused, but the Gemara spreads out to all areas of Shas, and as such is a very, very special Masechtin, a very special Perek. It's also very rich in Rishonim. We have not only Tosos on the page, we also have Tosos HaRosh, and we have Tosos Rash Mishans, Rav Shimshon Mishans, as a separate volume. In Chachmei Sfarad, we have the Ramban. When I was in the yeshiva at your age, the Ramban on Ksuvos was printed only in the volumes of the Rashba. But recently it's been moved over to the Chidushei HaRamban. The Rashba, when I grew up, didn't exist. Now it's a separate volume. They found the Ksav Yad of the Rashba. We have the Ritva. We have the Ra'ah. We have the Ran on the Rif. And of course the Rambam, Sefer HaMishnayos, the Perish al HaMishnayos. There's also a volume that we'll have to see how much it is relevant to us, but a Ksav Yad was found in the Gniza of someone who appeared to be writing a Kitzur Halachos of the Yerushalmi. And when it was looked at seriously, it was found to be the Ksav Yad of the Rambam, namely that the Rambam had in front of him the Rif. You have to have some sort of a kitzur of halachos in order to be able to write a Mishnah Torah. And so like before the Rush was able to write the Rush, so we have the kitzur piskei harush. He went through, he wrote index cards on all of Shas, and then he was able to put it together. So the Rambam had his index cards of the Bavli in the Rif, but there was no kitzur of the Yerushalmi. So he wrote, the Rambam writes that he wrote a kitzur of the Yerushalmi in order to be able to write his Mishnah Torah. And they found in the Geniza, in his own Ksav Yad, pages of this Kitzur, and one of the Masechtos which is covered is Ksuvos. And we know that the Rambam very, very often uses Yerushalmi in terms of Psak Halacha, but it's not immediately relevant to us, but we'll come to it, and when it is, we know there are photos that view the pages that are relevant. So we have Chachmei Ashkenaz, we have Chachmei Sfarad, we have Chachmei Provence, we have the Baal HaMo'or on the Rif. We have the Ravid on the Rif. The Ravid also has Asagos on the Rif. We have the Meiri, the Maasef L'Kol HaMachanos. And then we also have the Chachmei Italia. We have on the page the Tosfos Rid the Trani. So we have, it's very, very wealthy. I certainly would recommend to you to save having a table look like Rav Bednarz's table, to get a hold of the Kovetz Mefarshim. It comes in two volumes. On Ksuvos, we'll be using basically Chelek Aleph, simply that you'll have everything, not everything. And I forgot to mention, there's also, of course, a Shita Mekubetzes on Ksuvos, which is very, very, very rich, even in our Perek. The Shita Mekubetzes on the Masechtos, on which we have a Shita, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Ksuvos tends to sort of peter out towards the end of the Masechta. Beginning of the Masechta is, so we're still, this is still called the beginning of the Masechta. It's still, like on every Dibur HaMaskil, you have pages and pages. And again, it's hafoch ba'fochba. You can get a tremendous amount. And I should mention also that if you notice, if you're just looking at, you have a chance to look at Tosos. Tosos here quotes Rabbeinu Chananel quite often. So we also have, we don't have Rabbeinu Chananel on Ksuvos, but within Tosos you can sort of reconstruct to a certain degree Rabbeinu Chananel as well. Okay, so that's so we'll be learning the third perek. I would hope that you would be able to take morning Seder. Sachal, there are two shurim a week. I don't think that it'll take an entire Seder 5 days a week to both prepare for and to review shir, but I'd like you, if possible, to learn the Masechta on your own, you know, at your own pace. If you can make a siyum on Ksuvos, then you really will have covered not just a very chashuv Masechta in the world of Noshim, but also, as I mentioned, the Shas Katan is not only an hour perek, although it's very strong in our perek, but it's throughout the Masechta, from the very, very first Amud, you and the first perek in Dinim of Rov and Chazaka, and you know, it's the world of Sveik. There's a tremendous amount in the Masechta. So even to learn what we would call Bikiyus would also be very, very meaningful. And then at the end you'll get to the Agadata about living in Eretz Yisrael, which is always a beautiful way of ending a Masechta. Okay. Does someone want to read the first Mishnah? I have a volunteer. Michael? Okay. Okay, that's what we have. We have over here a Mishnah. How many principles exist in our Mishnah? Rav Yehuda HaNasi wrote the Mishnah, we used to say when I grew up, in telegraphic form. No one would say nowadays telegraphic form because no one knows what a telegraph is. But he wrote the Mishnah very, very concisely, very tersely. We're dealing with Torah Sheba'al Peh. There is a heter of Eis L'Asos L'Hashem Yifaros Arasecha, time of Yehuda HaNasi, to write it down, that it shouldn't be forgotten, but he tried to write it down in a shorthand. And so he compressed a tremendous amount into the Mishnah. Here, within this Mishnah, every Mishnah has principles and it has details. This Mishnah is no exception. How many principles of the world of Knas do we find over here in this Mishnah? A number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What?
3. 3.
Excellent, right. 3. Which 3? Or how would you read the Mishnah, or what word in the Mishnah would sort of tick you off to the fact that there are 3 principles over here?
Haba'al.
Right, excellent. This is, if you looked on, in words, you were, all of you were machavin to a Tosos over here. If you look at the third Tosos in the bottom of the Amud, on the words of Haba'al Hagioris, that's the second V'Haba'al in the Mishnah, Tosos points out, Chilkan Lashanos, Chiyuvei Lavin Lechudayu, Gioris Umishukhreres, Dikshayros Hain Lechudayu, Vachiyuvei Krisos Lechudayu. That the Mishnah uses the phrase Haba'al 3 times. Haba'al Hamamzeres on the Sina Velakusis. Secondly, Haba'al Hagioris Al Shuya Velashivcha. And thirdly, Haba'al Achosod. We have over here 3 different countings. Tosfos points out this is all as opposed to within the Perek Eloin Halokin, when it lists the Chiyuvei Lavin within the Mishnah in Makos, there Lo Tani Ela Haba Echad Al Kulam, just one word Haba, and then goes through the whole list. In other words, what over here is divided into 3 lists in the Mishnah in Makos is all one list, because Rav Yehuda HaNasi wants to point out 3 principles. What are the 3 principles that Rav Yehuda HaNasi wants to point out about this Knas? What's the first principle? What principle do we learn out from these three examples? What's the common denominator of these three examples? We have a world in the Torah called the Parsha of Ones, that if we're dealing with a basula and an individual rapes her, he is Ones, then we have, the Torah says that there are two consequences to this act. What are the two consequences? Halachically, there's a knas, pei chamishim shekel, v'nasan ha'ish ha-shochev lavi anara chamishim shekel, and v'lo tiyeh le'isha, v'lo yuchal le'shalcha, right? And, namely, this rapist, if the woman and her father are interested in it, in other words, would have to marry this woman and would not be allowed to divorce her. Those are the consequences found in the Torah. What over here is the first principle that we have in our Mishnah? What is the uniqueness of Mamzeres, Nesina, and Kusis? Is one allowed to marry a Mamzeres, a Nesina, and a Kusis? No. We have over here, that's what Tosis calls Chiyevei Lavim. We have over here a Lav in the Torah for a Jew as part of the Kohol to marry a Mamzeres. In terms of Nesina and Kusis, we will discuss this. This is the Rishonim talk about what exactly, who are they? Who are these women and what is their status? We'll come to it. But the common denominator is that we have a lav. One's not allowed to marry them, be it Doraisa, be it Drabanan, one's not allowed to marry them. And so what over here is the Chiddush of the Mishnah?
That they're Jewish?
No. That even though one cannot fulfill v'lo tiyeh le'isha, b'cholzo, what does the Mishnah tell us? Yeshlem knas. Right? In other words, the first din is that we can distinguish between these two consequences. It's not a package deal, necessarily. That we can have a knas without v'lo tiyeh le'isha. This is not a simple matter. It's a machokas tanoim. We're going to have to discuss this. That's principle number one. Principle number two, we have women, Gioris, Shivuya, and Shivcha, that what is their chazaka in their previous, they're coming from a previous status. In their previous status, what can one assume about them? That they're no longer betulot. And so what is our Mishnah telling us? That if their previous status was concluded before they were 3 years old, then we have a halachic determination that that they are viewed as besulot, whatever that means, besulot sayin chozot, halachically they are betulot. That's the second principle. Namely, that even these women who may have undergone a bi'ah, but halachically they are still considered to be betulot. Thirdly, what's the third principle of the Mishnah? Habo al achosov yal achos avi v'al achos imo v'chulei. Not just that we have over here Erva, what's the common denominator of these, or what comes along with the fact that they're part of the Parasha of Arayos?
Kares,
that there's an Iser of Kares. Had there been Misas Bezdin, would there have been a Knas?
No.
That's a principle called Kamle Midrabimin. That's next Mishnah. Next Mishnah says, Eilu Na'arot She'en Lehem Knas, and mentions those Arayos that have Misas Bezdin. However, over here, this Kares, a Misa Bidei Shamayim, but there's no Misas Bezdin. And so the Chiddush is that we still have a Chiyuv of Mamon. We don't say Kam Rebib Derabba Minei when we have Kares. We'll see that's also Machlokes Tanoim. There's a famous Tanner, Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, who paskins that women, or that a Bia that would bring about Kares, would exempt an individual from paying Mamon. But so these are the three principles, that the Knas can be separated from V'lo Tiyeh Le'isha, that a woman who loses her besulin before the age of 3, halachically is still considered to be a besula, and that when we have a chiyuv kares, we have a knas along with that. In other words, the kares does not obviate, does not exempt us from the knas. It's different than misas bezdin. Those are three principles. Now, aside from these principles, we also have a lot of details, right? What is the din of Mamzeres? What is the din of Nesina? What is the din of Kusis? Does it, you know, depends as to what period of Jewish history we're talking about. Are these dinim d'oraisa or dinim d'rabbanan? In terms of the giyoris and the shivcha and the shvuya, are they all in the same, or do they or are the differences between them? Within all of the arayos, we also have an issue, because forget about kares. If a person is boel and erva with, it's bemezid, there's a concept of malkos. And in malkos, we also have a din of ein adam loke umeshalem. So how do we get over here to our knas? Forget about kares. Shouldn't the malkos itself take away the knas? So these are all details that we're going to have to deal with. But I'd like, if possible, with you first to deal with principles and then to go back to details. Okay, so we mentioned that there were three principles in the Mishnah. Did you see the beginning of the Gemara already? Yeah. Okay, so Gemara then begins, Hane na'aros psulos islahu knas ksheros lo, which the elu would seem to apply that we have a certain exclusion, that these are the set of women who have knas, all these unusual women. What about a normal, just a normal basula, normal Beis Yaakov girl? There's no knas? So Gemara says, no, hachi kamar elu naros psula sheshlem knas, etc. And what the Gemara took for granted, that everyone knows that a basula is going to get a knas, that's a pasuk in the Torah. The chiddush over here is that within the world of the psulos, there are those that they have a knas and those that don't. Our Mishnah mentions those that have the knas. The next Mishnah mentions those that are exempt from the knas. Next Mishnah is a little farther down the line, right? On daf lamed vav amed beis, elu she'en lem knas, habal ha'giyor sit v'chulei, habal bito, bas bito, etc. Okay? So the Mishnah is just, the Gemara just wants to give us the right context. And then the Gemara points out that actually that there is a fourth principle in the Mishnah. What's the fourth principle in the Mishnah? It's included in the word na'arot. What is a na'ara halachically? That she's between the age of 12 and 6 months. Beyond 12 and 6 months, she's already called a bogeris. Before the age of 12, she's called a ketana. I forgot to mention, this also bringing simanim, that she also has physical simanim, that she has reached the level of physical maturity. But if she has the age of 12 and the physical simanim, so then for 6 months she's a na'ara. So the knas over here, according to the Mishnah, elu na'aros, appears to be what? To limited to?
Those 6 months.
So that's what the Gemara points out. That's a machlokas tana'im between Rav Meir and Rabbanan. Na'ara in ketana lo, mantana marav Yehuda amarav, Rav Meir hi. That Rav Meir says that we have a din of knas only by a na'ara, as opposed to Rabbanan, who say that it applies to a ketana and a na'ara. The common denominator is that they both agree that a bogeres, once she's above the age of 12 years and 6 months, then there is no knas. Yes, sir?
Is that time period dafka from 12 to 12 and 6 months, or can it start earlier?
It can't start earlier. The physical simanim, if they were to come earlier, would be viewed as what's called a shuma. It would just be an aberration. It wouldn't imply anything about physical maturity. But it could be later, namely that, in other words, that if she was 13 and then all of a sudden she had a physical simanim, so then the 6 months would begin from the time that she would be beyond the age of 12 and the physical simanim, that would create the situation of na'ara. There is an upper limit as well, but we won't get involved in that.
So the time period is 6 months after she brings simanim, after the age of 12.
Right. The two conditions are the age of 12 and physical simanim, when those two conditions are fulfilled, then there's a period of 6 months where she's called a na'ara. Okay? Okay, but the reason I'm just sort of mentioning this as this fourth principle as agav urcha is because this is the Mishnah later on. You learn the Mishnayah. So this machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbanan is a Mishnah down the line on Daf Mem Amud Beis. So we'll get to it on Daf Mem Amud Beis. Okay, basically, aside from that little tosis that we learned, Habor HaGiyores, the other tosis on the page deal with the pratim, deal with the details that are in the Mishnah. But as I mentioned to you, first I'd like to deal with the principle and then return to the details. So for this, I mentioned today is just an introductory shiur, just to give us the context, where we're going to begin with tomorrow. Let me just talk tomorrow, meaning tomorrow means next year. So you can just pass these out. So. I'm sorry, I still live in prehistory and write my Mar Makomo, so I'm going to read through them with you now, that you'll somehow get used to my hieroglyphics. I'm in the Beis Medrash if you can't read them. But I just would like to explain to you also where we're heading, what we'd like to do. Okay, so if everyone has what's called Mar Makomos number one, is there enough? Everyone has? Okay. Baruch Shekivanti. Wow, okay. So on Kaf Tes Amud Beis, the middle of the top line is where our sugya begins. V'hanei b'nei k'nasa ninhu. In other words, is this really true? That first principle that we can break off the knas from the v'loti yel isha. We can break off the knas from the consequence of marrying. Is that really possible? So the Gemara asks the question and gives a number of answers, and then brings in a brisa which disagrees with the Mishnah and really has a linkage between these two. So I'd like you to see that sugya, firstly with Rashi, and then over here, what I wrote in that sugya Kaf Tes Amud Beis, Hanei B'nei K'nasa, to the words Isha Ruya L'Kayima with Rashi. Then I have a bracket that the top two Tosfos are, you should learn them, but just realize we're not going to discuss them in any great detail. They're technical questions in terms of the limudim. Rashi understands the limudim in one direction. Tosus quotes the Gaonim, quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, who learns in a different direction. But there's a little Tosfos in Tosus in brackets, the Tosus Yeshanim, which we will stand on for a moment or two. That Lafuke, what bother, you know, what is Tosus pointing out? And then what I'd like you to do is look at a parallel sugya number two in the Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi starts off mamash the same way. In other words, this is the first sugya in the Yerushalmi, this ksiv. It doesn't get involved in the issue of Nara and Katana and Bogeris. They ask the question, ksiv loti eleisha, how can we have a mission that says you have a knas by a mamzeres and nesina and a kutit, there's no kedushim. And offers explanations and comes up with an explanation which is not in our Gemara. Okay, I'd like to see that explanation and then to think, is there any basic difference, conceptual difference between whether we're using the explanations of our Gemara or that of the Yerushalmi? And then I'd like you to look at 4 Rishonim, number 3, who deal with the Hava Mina and the Maskana. What I'd like you to do is divide these four into two groupings. Namely, that there are two ways of understanding the Hava Mina of the Gemara, two ways of understanding the question of the Gemara and of the answer. The four Rishonim are the Tosfos Reed. Tosfos Reed you have in the margin of your Gemara, starting on the top line, Umakshin and Amasnisin, just about six lines, they're very small lines, about 6-7 lines in the Tosfos Rid. Then see also the Chidushe Haritva, Dibri HaMaschil V'chad. Thirdly, see our Tosfos here, the third Tosfos on the page, Dibri HaMaschil V'chad. Particularly the very, very last four lines of Tosfos. And finally, I'm sorry, I put it in on that same line as Tosfos, the Me'iri on the Mishnah. The Me'iri on the Mishnah begins Amar HaMe'iri, as he usually does, and at the end, the Sof Dibur HaMaschil, the end of that paragraph, Amar HaMe'iri, he writes, V'lav Madnu, he concludes, T'chila B'chiyevei Lavim, da-da-da, B'chiyevei Krisus, namely the Me'iri that these four Rishonim should divide into two categories. To help you, I give you a direction, I send you to a totally different world, to the world of Shivcha Kanaanit. To the world of Ama Ivriya, to a Rambam in Hilchos Avodim, Perek Dalet Och Yud Aleph, where the Rambam simply codifies that which is found in the brackets here, Gemara Kedushin Yudches Amud Beis. It's one line in the Gemara and Rashi over there, and it's codified in the Rambam. When a father sells his daughter, who is a katana, to be an ama, to be a slave, there is a pasuk in the Torah which speaks about the fact that the buyer, the purchaser of this katana, has the right and maybe also the obligation of yi'ud, of marrying her. And the question is, what is the relationship between the sale and the possibility of yi'ud? Are these intrinsically connected or not? That is where I send to the Rambam, and then think about that. What parallel would we have within our sugya? And finally, the Rambam doesn't deal, as we're well aware, with sugyos in terms of havaminas and maskanos and kashas and terutzim. He gives us a bottom line. But his bottom line raises eyebrows. So I'd like you to look, sach hakol, our perek is dealt with in the Rambam in two prakim in Hilchos Na'ara Besula. Hilchos Na'ara Besula is towards the end of Sefer Noshim in the Rambam. After Hilchos Yibum V'Chalitza, we have Hilchos Na'ara Besula. The Rambam always begins every section with a koteret, with a heading, where he lists the mitzvos aseh and mitzvos lo aseh. So he lists over there, if I'm not mistaken, five mitzvos. Three of them are relevant to us, mitzvos aleph, beis, and gimel. You can look at dalet and hey as well, but they deal with motzi shemra. That's a parasha that we'll be touching on, because there's also a knas in motzi shemra, but it has its own dynamic. The Mishnah over here, basically, when it wants to expand on ones, brings in the parasha of mefateh, brings in the parasha of the seduction, and compares the seductor to the rapist, the mefateh to the ones. So we're going to stick to those two halachos. And if you want to see these three sort of fleshed out a little, these three mitzvos, so you look in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, mitzvos aseh, resh yud chet, and resh chaf. You realize that's towards the end of the mitzvos aseh that we have, towards the end of the Ramach, and mitzvos lo aseh also is sort of towards the end, mitzvah shin, mitzvah losa says shin nun hei. Now, is it simply parallel to the mitzvahs in the koteret? And what is missing? That's what you have to ask yourself. What's missing within the Rambam that you would expect to have seen in that heading? And then to help understand the Rambam Shita, read the first three halachos of Perek Aleph, particularly Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. But see the context of Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and we'll try and understand how the Rambam related to the sugyos that we'll have seen. That will be our first unit, okay? V'lo tiyeh le'isha. Once we see this principle, then B'li Neder, the following shiur, will deal with the issues that Rabbi Bednarsh is beginning with, right? We'll deal with who is the netina, the nesina, who. What is her status? The first long tosos, but that we'll hold off to see the detail until we see the principle. Right? Bednarsh asked me, why don't I just go in order? Where the first? So I told him, what can I do? I'm a soonish Rebbe Lichtenstein. I always ask myself, what would Rebbe Lichtenstein have said in his first year? And Rebbe Lichtenstein always would say, there are principles and there are details. First we'll deal with the principles and then we'll move over to the details. So that's what we'll do in that direction. Okay. But don't worry, I'm not going to leave. I'm not skipping the first Talmud, the Seder. Okay, so basically the time schedule will be Sundays, 11:45 to 1. We'll have Shir. And then on Wednesday, generally be 9:05. I'll be giving, for those who are interested, a short Musar Shmuz every morning from 8:55 to 9:05, a 10-minute Musar. And so at 9:05, we'll come up here on Wednesdays. Okay? I reserve the right of, if I finish saying what I want to say, but the time still exists, of just telling you to go back to down to the Beis Medrash. Okay, I don't always fill the entire framework of an hour and a quarter or less. Beseder? Okay, there's no need for you to remain in the shir. There's another excellent shir. There is an excellent shir. This is my shir. But you should feel, if you want it tomorrow morning, see, I'm being very, very serious. If you want to try Rabbi Narshi's shir and then decide where you feel more comfortable, you're certainly welcome. And I'll assume that if you're going to come back to my shir on Sunday, that then I'll take attendance. Okay? You know, it's I should be here, you should be here. You know, we're learning together. In terms of chavrusas, if are there those of you who don't have chavrusas in the morning currently? Okay, if I could be of any help in terms of chavrusas, you'll let me know. Beseder? There are still some more fellows who are coming in Mirtz Hashem next. I know of one person coming tomorrow, and two more that are coming next Tuesday. And then there are two coming after Yom Kippur. So, and then there's a fellow who just wrote to me that he got permission to be here part-time, and another fellow for there should be about another six people coming to the Kollel over the next few weeks. Okay? B'seder, b'hatzlacha. Looking forward to learning with you. Okay, so you're in charge of putting it online. Yeah. That's what I was asked by people.